Aloha Kakou. Thanks so much for your company today for the Aloha Friday conversation, art, culture, and ideas in Hawaii. I'm Noe Tanigawa. I know there's a lot going on today. We really appreciate you being here. Now, first up, we're exploring a new idea for sheltering homeless people on Oahu. According to point-in-time counts, over 2,000 people are living on sidewalks, in tents, and cardboard shelters, looking at possible drenching rain, wind, no food, or bathrooms this weekend. If they want to, 100 or more homeless could be sheltered at HPD's POST, Provisional Outdoor Screening and Triage Facility, at Ke'ehi Lagoon. It's a new idea in that clients get immediate shelter with pets if needed, transportation to that location, and then connection to services. Clients may enter through a service provider or HPD, but we just drove on up to a locked gate there. And all around is a wide scrubby grass field. You can see a few dozen tents kind of socially distanced there behind orange barriers. Major Mike Lambert is in charge of the POST. 17 years with HPD, mostly in narcotics and vice. He's a single dad with two middle school-aged sons. 2 years ago, Lambert started a program linking service providers with police enforcement. He says it's a logical connection.
For example, the biggest misconception is that homeless don't want shelter. That's not necessarily true, because what you see in the vacancy report is 200 beds. For what category? Because those 200 beds may only be for women and families, meaning that there's no vacancies for men. But with the Honu and with this project, we just adjust to the need. So
if there's no sheltered bed available, they can come here.
Right.
Is it your impression that there is permanent housing available out there?
That is a little further down the river than what I deal with. So we're that second tier, because I like to say the first tier is the outreach workers and officers. The second tier is this type of program in shelters. And of course, what we want to do is get them into something more long-term, whether it be supportive housing or affordable housing. Like I said, affordable is depending on who you ask, but I like to believe that they mean it in the sense of where someone that works a minimum wage job could afford to put a roof over their head. That's what I'm hoping. And like I said, I'm confident that those programs will come to fruition soon.
What were you doing before this?
So I mean, prior to
were
this,
were you a regular street officer?
Predominantly, I've spent my whole career on the enforcement side. So the first basically 15 years of my career were in patrol or in a narcotics vice division. And over the last 2 years, I ended up in charge of a program that connects outreach workers with officers to ensure, again, that we are giving people the best opportunity to get off the street.
So how long have you experienced working with unsheltered people?
The pilot, the very first pilot started in 2018. It actually was just a very small pilot in Chinatown. And then when Chief Ballard took number one position, she actually took it out of the very small pilot and made it an island-wide initiative.
So you've seen people in enforcement.
Yes.
What's that experience like? What did you see?
When I was a rookie, actually my first assignment was Chinatown. And this is in 2002. And the problems weren't as prevalent as they are now, not even close. But you would get your call here and there. And for me personally, it was hard to do the enforcement knowing that I really couldn't offer them anything. You know, I felt bad because it's like one of those where, okay, I get the order, there's a complaint of people being in the park, for example, Ala Park. The park closes at 10 p.m. or whatever, and my job is to go ahead and enforce anybody that's in violation of that. And it's hard because, you know, you go out there and you see the fact that they're broken and sad, and, you know, I'm over there kind of adding on to their issues, right? Because now they have a ticket to deal with.
And they have to move.
And then they're going to have to figure out where else to go. And we're talking about like 1 a.m. So there's no option for them. I know that. They know that. But at the end of the day, you know, that, you know, in 2002, that was my job, right? My job was to make sure that the park was clear. Like I said, I should feel really bad about it, but there was no other option. And just one of those where sometimes officers, they create a callus towards it. And a lot of it is just their own coping. So what you see fast forward is officers that seem heartless about the homeless issue when they're really not. They're just trying to build their own defense mechanism to be able to cope with having to constantly enforce against people that they know can't help it. It's pretty heartbreaking. So what I like now is that I feel that officers, for our own, you know, emotional state, can feel good about if they do have to enforce, they're well aware that they did everything they could. They offered everything under the sun. They offered shelter. Like, a program like this is 24/7, holidays, it never closes. And in the event that they don't take it, which is their right, at the very least, we can sleep at night knowing that there was an offer made, and by their own choice, they elected to not participate in a program that was available to them.
Okay, we know. Are these viable options? I got to try to look at it from their perspective.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
So just like anything else, not everything is going to be a perfect fit for anyone. And a lot of it has to do with the timing. Because what people don't realize, especially in our rural areas, Waimanalo and Waianae, there's a connection to that community, whether it be family, friends, or just emotional attachment to the area. If I'm telling you, well, I have an opportunity, but it's all the way down Sand Island, then not necessarily that they don't want help, but it's not a good fit for them. We have to have a lot more robust offerings in regional locations, because for me personally, I grew up in Kaneohe, and should I be down on my luck, I would want to be in Kaneohe. I have, you know, family there. A lot of our families in the rural will welcome the family member in for dinner or whatever, but because they have addiction issues or mental issues, they don't feel comfortable with them staying overnight. So like I said, again, that's very common in our rural areas, right? And actually, ironically enough, the families actually want them to be nearby, but not in the house for the fear of, like, again, their addiction or untreated mental illness.
You're describing a kind of halfway house kind of thing that you would think we could create.
Right. What I would think is that you set up regional transition points, right? So in other words, it's not meant to be long-term, very much like this program here, where you can come in, you know, a few days at a time. And what it is you have social workers on standby to try to cultivate an option for that individual. What it does is allows them the comfort of not being moved out of the location they want to be in, but yet it creates the opportunity to perhaps improve their condition, meaning that a lot of the times the emotional attachment or whatever other attachment is due to addiction or lack of mental health treatment. So for example, if I have anxiety, of course I don't want to go somewhere where I have no clue is, but if you treat the anxiety, right, medication or therapy, I might be more open to try new things. And what people don't realize is that a lot of our homeless community suffers from depression. It's prevalent. It's very, very prevalent. And what people don't realize is that depression is debilitating. And we're not talking about I feel bummed. We're talking about I feel suicidal, I feel disappointed in myself, and all those type of emotions make it very difficult to improve. The reason why I'm so sensitive to people with depression is that it's common in my family, and I've seen how debilitating it can be. You can't just tell somebody experiencing true clinical depression to go get a job. It is counterproductive to even think that they need a pep talk. A lot of times they need medication, a lot of times they need therapy to improve. And you know, it's one of those where you gotta look at the root of it, right? And go ahead, and then the roots for the homeless crisis is, you know, mental health issues, right, addiction. And then you have general poverty, meaning that people that maybe they're not educated enough to hold a job that makes enough money to survive, or they don't choose to, right? But what the data is showing and what I've learned from the outreach providers is that the longer they're out there, the more likely they are to either become mentally ill or become addicted to a substance, right? What I hear, which is just heartbreaking, is that a lot of women utilize meth to stay awake overnight so they're not sexually assaulted as they sleep. Negative people would say that, oh, that's just an excuse. But when you really talk to these people, and which I do out here regularly, I have no reason to believe that that's not a genuine answer.
You're helping us with things people don't realize or know about the unsheltered population.
Mm-hmm. You know, I get where the community is frustrated. I get where they feel unsafe. And it's not everybody has a heart big enough to take a step back and realize that these people are hurting. And there is a subsection of them that are bad for the community, and I hate to say it, probably would better be off in prison for themselves and the community, but that's not the vast majority. I would say the vast majority just need supportive services. We gotta really step up in regards to our behavioral health services. Our providers are great. There's just not enough detox beds. We have great agencies. We have a lot of people willing to take on those extra beds. There's just no availability of funding.
Mike Lambert was promoted to major just last weekend, heading HPD's community affairs. Congratulations, Mike. He says 250 people have gone through the post, which he was talking about here. 150 have moved into further services after stabilizing there. I mean, think about it. What would you do? Storms, wind, rain ahead this weekend. You're drenched, right on the street, belongings scattered. You could lie in a tent by yourself, rain and tent walls flapping in the wind, and there you could contemplate your future.